Smart lines it up. Off the rim. Smart will save it. But it's out of bounds. Williams couldn't secure it. Oh, Williams goes over the scorer's table. And will get helped up.
And I thought he was going to stop here when he got to the table.
I think he did as well.
And then all of a sudden he kept sliding right here and kept going.
He definitely knocked some wires out. Yep. There is a local radio set up in that area.
Oh, there's major spillage too.
Double spillage, triple. I've never seen it in all my years. Triple spillage.
It's great in slow motion, isn't it?
As long as you're not in the middle of it.
Exactly. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. Alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Well done to put that together. And joining us, one of the voices we just heard, one of the great play-by-play voices from CBS and Westwood One, Ian Eagle. Ian, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, guys. This is pretty emotional for me because after some time to reflect and really do some soul searching, I've come to terms with the fact that no matter how many big events I may call in my life, my tombstone will now read, "Here lies Ian Eagle, creator of triple spillage." And I'm okay with that. That's fine by me.
There was a point in that whole thing when I thought my tombstone might be there in Jacksonville, Florida, when Emmett Williams came over the table, you know?
It was so much diet soda. That's what still strikes me to this moment. It felt like liters.
It was a full cup. I'd just gotten back from, you know, backstage there, and I came back, and you know, I was actually, I think at the time, I was sort of looking for somewhere to set the cup down. I had to go back and kind of recreate what happened. It's like, why did I not see him coming? And I was like Jim Spanarko, I think. I thought he was going to stop. And I noticed the ball came over there, and I put up my left hand to stop the ball. And about that time, Emmett just came crashing over. But, I want to thank you, first of all, for making the whole thing fun and a fun thing for my friends and family. Everybody I've come into contact with in about the last 3 weeks has said something or gotten a kick out of it. So I appreciate that a lot. It was really funny the way you did it.
Kevin, the reality of it, and you guys, Mark and Blaine, should also know, the day before, when we sit down for the 8 practices, it is just an overwhelming amount of information. You're trying to put names to players and faces. You're trying to just keep in your mind and compartmentalize who's playing whom. By the end of the night, you don't even know who's playing one another. So if you can get any insight from the SIDs, Greg Sage was terrific. The Belmont SID, the guy was working on 90 minutes of sleep and was doing his best to provide us with some insight because of Belmont's travel schedule. Meanwhile, Kevin has got like the energy of a man that just had a 14-hour power nap. I don't know how he did it. He said, well, I do morning radio, so it didn't really affect me all the travel. And he's now sitting alongside helping with pronunciations, and that's not always the norm with the play-by-play guys. When he is going phonetically with me over Adelsberger. Repeat after me, Ian. So Kevin went the extra mile, and not to say if it happened to any other radio play-by-play guy, we would have treated it the same way, but we just had to have this special connection with Kevin just based on who he is and his personality and the fact that he wanted to help in some way in a spot where most guys aren't thinking in those terms. So thank you to you, Kevin, for just being an all-around great guy.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Well, one more for me, and I'll let these guys go. I know it was a combination of reporting and sort of off-the-cuff comedy. Explain how you made it work with Jim Spanarko and Jamie Erdahl, your reporter, and also producer Craig Silver is really just one of the best ever at producing live game events.
Yeah. You know what? In all sincerity, I have doing this job for so many years, two things happen there. One, I'm fascinated by any stoppages in the game. Because I think I've done so many games in my life, 25 years on Nets, obviously, you know, 20-plus years with CBS on NFL and on college basketball, and sitting in meetings, by the way, with Blaine Bishop, who was terrific to deal with back in his days with the Titans. So anything that actually stops the normal flow of a game, I find very fascinating. And especially if fans get involved, if there's some kind of spillage in an NBA game. I like to break it down. Like, what was going on through that person's mind at that moment? They've got a half a cup of beer, or they're texting while they're drinking, and a ball hits them in the face, or a player flies in. You'll see it often with a ball that gets wedged in between the backboard and the rim, which is called a wedgie. And the fact that that could stop the game in its tracks, I just find that very fascinating. The second part, which, look, we have no idea. You show up at these games, amazing things happen. You hope you're there to chronicle it and be in the moment. You don't wake up in the morning and say, today we go viral. That's not the
I certainly didn't.
You did not. Yet you did, because it was this perfect storm of events that hit at the time. And for me, just trying to bring some levity to these games. Everybody's into it. Everybody's engaged. The month of March is incredible. But you still have to have a couple of laughs along the way, if the moment merits it. Don't force it. It's not amateur hour at the Chuckle Hut. Just go with it. Go with the moment. And I think over the course of my career, I've just realized, hey, if something strikes me as funny in the moment, it's probably going to strike at least a portion of the audience in the same manner.
All right. Now the payoff. Does Kevin's moment make one shining moment tonight?
Yeah. I have no insight. I have none whatsoever. They don't check with me on this. But, boy, I got to say, it has to have a puncher's chance right
here. Yeah. What do you think the odds are?
Oh, I'd say 5-1. I mean, there's never been spillage.
5-1.
Ever. There's never been spillage in one shining moment. So this would be unprecedented. Also, I mean, to me, the reaction of the slow motion is one thing. But then to go back and to see all of the Diet Coke on his very clean plaid shirt that opened up as a really good look. I mean, you had a good look for the tournament. You clearly had an idea how you wanted to attack March Madness with your wardrobe. And it was so sticky. You couldn't get rid of the stick. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what you did. You aired out. You flapped your arms. It was going to be sticky. You handled yourself incredibly well, Kevin.
So apparently in the production meeting on Saturday, was it Saturday or Sunday for the second round game, was decided that you were going to rerun that moment, and you gave greater depth and analysis to it.
We had to dig a little deeper. I mean, you can't just go superficial. If you're going to go back to it, you do have to go full context.
There's so much more to that story. There really is.
Oh, there's so much. We're not even covering half of it right now. I think 10 years from now, when they look back on the tournament 2019, there could probably be an additional documentary done just on that moment. And we'll get Emmett Williams, and we'll get his family to talk it through. It's going to be special.
All we need to know, who's the director going to be for the 30 for 30? That's all we need to know.
and you brought him up earlier, guys. Craig Silver, the producer of that game and of that site, really was the one who spearheaded it, because he saw all the angles and then realized that this was something that we had to show. There are plenty of producers out there that would just move on and say, nope, it's not on my checklist. It didn't happen. Let's show a replay of a layup from two plays earlier. He had the presence of mind, and Suzanne Smith, our director, and our entire staff to catch that in the moment and then replay it over and over and over again, Kevin.
Yes. Ian Eagle's our guest from CBS and Westwood One.
Ian, how did you see the play in the Auburn-Virginia game there where it hit off his foot, they double dribbled?
Yeah.
Did you see all that live? Because in the moment, I was just like the ref. I was looking off quickly, briefly at what was going on, and then the grabbed jersey. I didn't see any of that. Did you see it immediately?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, Blaine, I wasn't watching live. I had an NBA game as that game was going on. It was the Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. Nets got the win in Indiana last night, and they qualified for the playoffs. So that's been a real fun story to cover. I've watched it now a million times, and I'm trying to think, even in my own mind, as a play-by-play announcer, and often that's what you do. You put yourself in the chair, you put the headset on mentally. Would you have caught that? And I don't know if I would have. I can't say definitively. Obviously, I've watched a lot of basketball in my life. There's instincts that kick in. but your mind is racing and you're prioritizing at that moment to make sure you're telling a story. And I don't know. I don't know if in that moment I would have seen it, felt it, and said it based on the sequence of events that were surrounding it. But it's unfortunate. To me, you never want it to come down to that. And clearly people focused on the Kyle Guy foul other than that, and then went back to it when they realized the teams probably never should have even gotten to that point where Guy got a three-point shot off from the corner. Auburn had a tremendous season. I had a chance to broadcast their games in Kansas City in week two of the tournament, and Bruce Pearl just got every ounce that he could out of that team, and that's gonna live with them for a while. That one is going to be hard to overcome mentally because it was right there for the taking.
All right, what do you expect to see tonight? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I've been on Virginia all year long. I've really been high on their program, the way that Tony Bennett has coached these guys up, the way he handled himself and the team handled themselves, considering a year ago they were considered the embarrassment of the NCAA tournament. It's sad to say in those terms, but when you're the first number one seed to go down ever to a 16, that's history. So I felt like they had something working in their favor this year. There was a motivation. There was a real connectivity for these guys because they had been through it. And by the way, they're a really good basketball team. Offensively, they've been efficient. They're not a team that will blow you out of the gym, but they can lull you to sleep and then come away with some real impressive, crisp sets that leave you scratching your head defensively. The problem that they have tonight is they're going against a really physical defensive team that is, in my mind, playing the best basketball of the tournament. Just look at their run in this tournament. I think Texas Tech is going to find a way to get this thing done. It's not going to be pretty. And although Virginia was my gut instinct before the tournament began, just judging off what I've seen during this month, I think Texas Tech is going to be your national champion.
It's all just a prelude to one shining moment tonight.
That's filler,
exactly. From CBS and Westwood One, Ian, thanks so much for the time. I hope our paths will cross again down the road.
Guys, anytime. We'll do it again 10 years from now for the retrospective.
That's right. Thanks, man. We'll see you. Thanks, Ian.
That was awesome.
That was great. We have to interview some kids from my son's school also, because I went over there for lunch the day after we got back home. And like, hey, I saw you get ran over on national TV, Mr. Ingram. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for a shining part of our show, and that is the Monday Morning Facial. It's up next on 104.5 The Zone.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star, and all the years.